Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This episode of Politics Without the Boring Bits is sponsored by BT, because BT means business. BT knows that businesses come in many shapes, sizes, and guises, from the person just starting out at their kitchen table to the biggest employer, which is why no matter what line of work you're in, they've got your back to help you succeed and do what you do best. No doubt connectivity is a must in Westminster, and it certainly helped us to get this episode created and distributed to you listening right now. BT already connects more than 1 million businesses and public sector organisations, offering secure and reliable connectivity. Nearly three quarters of people running a business or side hustle feel they couldn't do so without reliable broadband and mobile connectivity. That's why having connectivity you can count on is a must for business, whether it be facilitating multiple devices being connected at once or making team calls or guest Wi-Fi access for customers. BT's connectivity helps keep you and your customers happy. Whatever your business, BT's got your back. Search BT's got your back.
Hello and welcome to the Red Box Politics podcast in the Times. I'm Matt Chorley and welcome to Taunton, birthplace of Dragon's Den star Deborah Meaden, former Attorney General Jeremy Wright, Peter Andre's wife Emily Andre, and me. It's also where Benjamin Disraeli made his name, of which more later. Taunton is where I was born and grew up, and while Westminster is convulsed with inaction, I've come back to my hometown to see what, if anything, people make of the state of British politics. So this is Taunton. I'm standing outside what were once the offices of the Taunton Times, where I began my journalistic career after finishing my A-levels. It was in this building. I learnt the tricks of the trade, met my now wife, and I'll be honest, often fell asleep in the toilet while amazingly hungover. Just around the corner from here is the multi-storey car park barrier, which hit me in the face, sending me to hospital, where while I was being checked out, I missed a phone interview with Funhouse's Pat Sharp. Never let it be said that local newspapers weren't brilliant. Just down the high street from here is what was once Cafe Mamba, a nightclub where I spent those nights creating the morning after hangovers. Occasionally I was DJing, often just standing outside in the rain, flying for band nights with my good friend Paul Tews, who we'll hear from later on in this episode. Sometimes I was inside reviewing bands like Kasabian, who, yes, played Taunton before they were big, or interviewing stars like Coolio. Coolio came to Taunton, I interviewed him, and he basically sat mutely reading a book for most of it, and then asked me to source a SCART lead for his Nintendo. And just down the end of the high street is where I helped organise a student union march against tuition fees way back in 2000. I was on the student union and we hired Timmy Mallett to attract the student crowd, spending £1,300 on his fee, which at the time was about the cost of a year's tuition. Spoiler alert for you, I didn't even go to university. But while a junior reporter at the Taunton Times, I did spend hours on this very high street vox-popping people, asking them about the big and the not-so-big issues of the day. So I'm back to talk about you-know-what. So back in 2016, Taunton voted 52% in favour of leave, putting it in line with the rest of the country. Now, having spent several hours talking to people here, not all of them willing to be recorded, it has to be said, the overwhelming sense I get is one that will be music to Boris Johnson's ears. They just want to get on with it, or in the Prime Minister's slogan, get Brexit done.
Place has gone to the dogs, mate.
Yeah, why is that?
We're not going to stay to it.
I know, but people keep saying this.
All the shops closed, everything. Look at all the dirt and filth. It's all over Taunton.
But how's that happened? What's the matter?
I suppose they say lack of money again. Yep. That's the usual excuse.
And what's that, the council, do you think, or the government? Whose fault is it?
Council, not my government. They're all right.
You like the
Boris
government?
To sort it out.
But you think Boris is going to sort it out?
I sincerely hope so. get that prat Corbyn out of the way.
Yeah, do you follow politics?
Yes.
And what do you think about what's going on?
Stinks. They shot Theresa May in the back, I think.
And what about Brexit? Where were you on Brexit?
Out. If you've got idiots like Corbyn,
yeah,
DUP, they don't know what they want. Yeah. And that idiot from bloody Scotland's SNP, he wants to kick the ass.
Who's that, what, Ian Blackford?
Yes.
You know who Ian Blackford is?
Well, yeah. It's just all ganging up together, aren't they?
Yeah.
They don't want the Tories in, that's the end of it.
Oh, are you from Taunton?
Well, yeah, I lived here most of my life, I guess.
So, yeah, very good. Yeah. Is Taunton a good place to live?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Well, that's good, because a lot of other people have been a bit negative about it. So, you know, it's a bit run down, the shops are closing and all that, but you're...
They should look at some of the places abroad, shouldn't they?
I don't know, I'm from Taunton originally, and I've come back, and I think it's looking in pretty good shape.
Well, it looks all right to me, mate.
Yeah.
I normally work in Westminster, covering politics. So I decided to get out and find out, you know, people out here think. Are you interested in Brexit?
Not really. I think we've been in there that long now, 40 years, we just will have stayed in there.
Is that what you think?
Well, might as well, innit?
The last 3 years suggested you might be right.
Yeah,
that's right. It turns out it's a bit bloody complicated.
Yeah, that's right. Well, like I said, been here 40 years.
Yeah.
Seems a bit like a long time then to have to leave and start again.
Yeah.
Like I said, people didn't want to go in it when they voted for it.
Yeah.
When they wanted you to go in, people didn't want to go in. And now, well, they don't want to come out now, do they? So, you know, I guess really every day... person don't really understand all the facts and figures today.
I'm not sure everyone in Westminster necessarily understands it all either.
No.
Can I just have a quick chat with you?
Yeah, go for it. Go on then.
Are you from Taunton?
No, I'm from Bristol.
Oh, right.
But I live here.
And what do you think of Taunton?
Brilliant. I would not go back to city living.
No.
I absolutely love it. I'm much more adjusted to town livings.
What's the stuff that people in Taunton are worried about?
A lot of the town centre, the shops. I know that we've had a lot of shops closed down.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of building work. Perhaps places around Taunton that we wouldn't like. We're losing our
house greener building.
So a lot of house building, losing a lot of greener areas.
Do you follow politics?
As much as I can with a 3-year-old at home.
Following a 3-year-old and following politics is quite similar though.
Yeah.
And what do you make of what's going on in politics?
Messy, I think, is the way that I'd probably describe it. My parents have a house in Portugal, so they're obviously going to be affected by it. My mum is Dutch as well. So, it's be an interesting outcome. I know it's obviously all going to kick off in the next few days.
Which we've been saying for the last 3 years.
Well, yes, obviously, yes.
Where are you on the Brexit debate?
Didn't support it when we first voted, how many years ago that was. Didn't support it, and I'm now I think I want the job done. If we're doing it, we're doing it. And it's just too much to-ing and fro-ing, I think, now. And I think it's just something that we've all voted for and we should just get on with it.
Where are you politically? How do you vote in Taunton?
I think I might have gone for an independent last time.
Interesting.
I think that was primarily through the amount of effort that the independent person put into their publicity and what they stood for,
yeah.
I think, was much clearer from the independent party than any of the other major parties.
Taunton's obviously, traditionally, it's either been Lib Dem or Tory. What do you think will happen? I mean, people are talking about a Christmas election. What do you think will happen?
I think it all probably depends on how things go in the next few weeks. Yeah. Depends how people see it, I suppose, that if the Conservatives do get the job done, then perhaps people will see it that that's a good thing and the job is done and we can move on. But if they don't, then we may have some further issues, I guess. We may be changing again, but... we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
And while all this is sort of playing out in Westminster, and people like me are getting very excited about what's going on in Parliament on a day-to-day basis, what do you sort of make of it? Does it feel like it's detached from what's going on in sort of normal life?
Yeah, I think I feel very much detached from it. I think it's very much now we're not obviously involved in negotiations. It's not probably, I don't think it's very clear what is being negotiated. I know about the backstop and things like that, but I think a lot of people are just fed up. Really, really fed up, which is a shame because, you know, it's obviously our country and it's we've been part of the EU for so long. It is just a shame that it's taken this long and it's tiring.
It is.
Oh, jolly good.
Oh, you want to talk to me about you?
Yes, I do.
This is the best Vox Pop I've ever done. Somebody approaching me to talk about politics. Why do you want to talk to me about politics?
I want to talk to you about politics because I'm concerned about the welfare and depression of the nation.
The depression of the nation? I think you should be. I think we all are.
The reason for this is that we have the opportunity now to fulfil the referendum, which the majority of people in England voted for.
Did you vote for it?
Definitely, yeah. And Boris, with all his quirks and quirkiness, and I have to say here that I'm distant related to Lloyd George.
You are?
I am.
How does that work?
Don't ask me to. It's my great-great-granduncle, I think. Okay. Boris has got some interesting moral standards, but he's really doing his best for Britain at the moment, as did Theresa May. She was wonderful. And
you think Theresa May was wonderful?
I do. I really do think she was wonderful. She tried her best. She's a different mindset to Boris, a different culture, the old type of culture, a vicar's daughter like myself.
Ah,
and so I feel...
You felt an affinity.
Well, there were a whole lot of vicar's daughters who were supporting her. But she felt it was her duty, although obviously it was ineffective and it didn't work. Although, you know, most of the deal that she put together is being used by Boris. I should call him our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. I have a tremendous regard for him in the last few weeks since he took office. So I'm really hoping that this awful mess will get tidied up this week.
And just in terms of Taunton, I've tried to get out of Westminster to talk about other things. In an ideal world, once and if Brexit is parked as an issue for a bit, what would you like politicians to be talking about that would actually affect people's sort of normal day-to-day lives in Taunton?
It's become very sad. When my parents moved here about 45 years ago, Taunton was a really nice place to come. I lived in Bristol then and I worked for the Bristol Evening Post.
Ah.
And I used to come down here shopping at the weekend, and people used to say to me, why do you shop in Taunton? I said, there's some lovely little shops and it's such a pretty place and well looked after. You know, Bristol's lovely, but Taunton was even better. Now there are so many empty shops. We've got building sites here that haven't been fulfilled. The place is really looking shabby, and I know that it was Taunton Dean Borough Council, but I can't remember the full name now.
Somerset West and Taunton Dean? One of those combinations?
Something like that. It's so wordy, it's difficult to remember. There's a lot that could be done here because the place is going downhill and everybody is saying it. So much so we moved out to Wellington, which is actually a better looking place now. I come to Taunton for everything, really. I still do, but I am sorry to see it in this rather deprived-looking condition.
I think it's in a better state than I remembered a few years ago.
Oh, yes, we do have some shops.
But you're right, there are empty shops, and that just creates a mood.
Well, I've just been standing in the post office. Have you been in the post office? But have you actually been in there?
No, I haven't. Not since the county store shut.
Just go in there and you have to walk right to the back to get to the post office. It's absolutely amazing. It's almost like you feel it's going to be jumped out along the way because it's all dark by someone. It's really quite frightening. You go in there and have a look. I recommend it.
That would be my next job, Rachel. Thank you very much.
That's all right. It's been a pleasure.
Good to meet you. Well, I have never, in all the years I've spent pacing up and down Taunton High Street doing vox pops, which I used to be forced to do on a weekly basis when I was a junior reporter at the Taunton Times, I've never been approached by someone wanting to speak to me. This is what Brexit politics has done to the country, it seems. Okay, so let's talk more broadly about politics. As I mentioned, Benjamin Disraeli is a link to Taunton. He first stood as an MP here in a by-election in 1835. He lost, but during the course of that campaign, he got an extraordinary row with the Irish MP Daniel O'Connell. Basically, O'Connell had been so incensed by some inaccurate press reports that Disraeli had called him a traitor that they got embroiled in a massive war of words, which culminated in Disraeli challenging O'Connell's son to a duel. Now, this duel never actually happened, unfortunately, but the publicity meant that Disraeli was at the front of the queue for a winnable seat in 1837 when he became one of two members in the constituency of Maidstone, although it took him another 31 years to become Prime Minister. Politics comes at you much faster these days. Today, Taunton Dean has got a Conservative MP, Rebecca Powell, who in 2015 took the seat from the Lib Dems, who in turn had taken it from the Tories in 2005. They'd taken it from the Lib Dems in 2001, and they'd taken it from the Tories in 1997. Here's a quick word from Rebecca Powell. What is filling your post bag in Taunton?
Well, interesting. People in Taunton just care about what they do, how they live in Taunton.
and the surrounding area, because of course we've got that beautiful countryside all around us. We're very spoiled really in the area.
One of the things that strikes me driving around Taunton is the way that what were quite distinct villages now feel like they're being sucked into Taunton. Is that, are people worried about that sort of thing? That you know, there used to be some green space between their village and the big town.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because you're right, there is a lot of building, but equally, that's not a bad thing. That shows that people want to come to Taunton, the county town of Somerset, and that it is a lovely place to live, and that we are spreading the wealth further across the country. And I personally think that's a good thing. And we get a lot of families locating there, a lot of, like, even, for example, people come to 40 Commando, and so many of them stay on afterwards. And there are jobs. We have very low unemployment in Taunton, and what we want to do is get even higher skilled jobs, better paid jobs, and then we want to persuade our young people to come and stay in Taunton and not to leave. So we're working on this whole thing about apprenticeships, working with what's now the University Centre of Taunton, which will have been SCAT when you were there.
Yeah absolutely.
You know, that status has really changed. They're offering some great courses, working in partnership with Hinkley Point, new nuclear apprenticeships. We've got lots of much more high quality nursing apprenticeships, and they're working also. We've got a world leading company called the UK Hydrographic in Taunton, which makes all the world's shipping maps, but it's also very big in the marine data space, and the opportunities there are really growing. So we've got lots of apprenticeships based there and lots of really highly skilled jobs, which are attracting in a whole lot of new people.
What are the things that are big issues for you and for people in Taunton that seem a million miles away from what's going on in Westminster? There must be some times when people say things inside the Westminster bubble and you think, oh, blimey, if only you came to Taunton, you'd know that actually nobody gives a monkeys about that.
And one of the big things in Taunton that I worked on was to retain 40 Commando.
The Marines. So there's one of the big bases for the Marines was in Taunton.
Yes, one of the big bases across the nation. And they've been based there for quite some decades. And rightly so, the Ministry of Defence did a review of their whole defence estate and all of those
because it
families.
Is a big thing. And I remember when I was on the Taunton Times, and I think the Marines were in what would have been then Afghanistan.
Yes.
And when they came home, there would be parades through the town.
Absolutely.
And it was, and you know, people, it was a big thing.
Yeah, we gave them the freedom of the town.
Yeah.
They're a really integral part of our town and much loved. But you can't just make decisions because you love them. It had to be made on economic grounds and viability, and also a great deal of money, over 100 million, had been invested in the site recently to upgrade it.
In Taunton.
In Taunton. Yeah, yeah.
So you were doing that then as a backbench MP. You're now a minister.
Yeah.
Does that curtail what you can do Taunton-wise?
No, because I'm never going to stop, you know, fighting for the area. And Wellington. Don't forget Wellington.
Don't forget
because,
Wellington,
of course, Wellington is my constituency.
We should probably talk about politics.
Yes.
The whole time I was growing up, you know, Taunton was, it was either Tory or it was Lib Dem, the, you know, Labour Party nobody figure. And you've got what appears to be a stonking majority of 15,000. However, given that the Lib Dems previously thought they'd got decent, if not insurmountable, majorities. Politics is pretty volatile in the West Country, isn't it?
Yes, so I never ever think of my majority. I never look at any polls either, and I never ever ever rest on my laurels. But yes, it's a constant. It's really strange. It's historic. I don't think there's any other whole region specifically like that, and a lot of it is historic.
And Taunton Deane as a whole voted Leave, slightly higher percentage than the national, 53%, something like that. Are people gripped by Brexit? Are they sick of hearing about it? What's the sort of?
I've been doing these informal surgeries outside supermarkets recently, and it's actually a really good place to get a rain check. And I can honestly say the overwhelming view is, please, 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 can you get on with this?
What impact can you have as a politician, particularly when, you know, politics is so dominated by Brexit, on something that you personally are interested in?
I specialised in the environment, farming, rural affairs.
When you were a journalist.
As a journalist and a broadcaster. In fact, I was the first environmental correspondent on television in one of my favourite subjects.
Well, soil, famously, you spoke about soil at the Tory Party conference. Unfortunately, your speech was slightly overshadowed.
I know.
The Prime Minister's speech being overshadowed by the Prime Minister's cough.
And the letters falling off.
And the letters falling off, and
so
the P45.
I thought at that conference, my colleagues saw all the work I was doing in Parliament and said, Rebecca, could you have 3 minutes on this on the main stage before the Prime Minister arrives? And I thought, this is my big moment. everyone suddenly going to start talking about the environment. So I did my Curfew Home speech, but of course, you journalists didn't give it 1 second or word of coverage, and I was so disappointed because so many people ran off to me afterwards.
We have to blame the Prime Minister's cough. Rebecca, it's brilliant to speak to you. Just finally, what if you were trying to sell, and I know this is basically, you do this quite often at PMQs and that sort of thing, if someone was planning their holiday, weekend away, why should they go to Taunton?
It is the county town of Somerset. It's got the fantastic world-leading cricket. It's a beautiful country town, but it's surrounded by this glorious hinterland of wonderful landscape with two areas of outstanding natural beauty and the Vale of Taunton extending either side of the town. And if you want to come down there, drink a glass of cider, watch a bit of cricket, and have a chat with the great MP. Come on down.
And the big question is, if you're going to come down, you need to have a cream tea. Are you jam or cream first?
I am definitely jam first.
Oh, no, you see, that's wrong. That's wrong. Well, let's not fall out now. Now, Rebecca Powell currently has a majority of more than 15,000. Insurmountable, you might think. But the Lib Dems do have their sights on taking it back, buoyed by local election results in May this year, when they took 30 of the 59 seats on the newly formed Somerset West and Taunton Council. The Tories were pushed humiliatingly into third place and are now very worried about their chances of holding on to places like this. But can the party promising to revoke Brexit really win in a seat that backed Leave? Well, across the West Country, the Lib Dems are seen as the opposition to the Tories. Labour are nowhere. After a decade under a Tory PM, might voters now want a change? So I'm now standing right in the middle of Taunton with my good friend Paul Toose, who 18, 19, 20 years ago we used to stand probably at this very spot giving out flyers for music nights in the drizzle.
We did, literally pleading people to come to our nights.
And a roaring success they were back in my DJing days. Now, you were a Lib Dem councillor.
I was, yes. Yeah.
What's the sort of lay of the land of politics in Taunton?
Well, certainly locally, Matt, the Conservatives are in retreat, I would say. They've lost control of the new Taunton and West Somerset Council. Following from the elections where they lost control back in the summer, they've now proceeded to... So the Lib Dems have won two by-elections. One of those by-elections was in Vivery Ward, which, for as long as anybody can remember, was Tory through and through. So it's full house for Lib Dems now.
It's interesting that, so, and presumably, given that the Lib Dems sort of live and die by their local politics, you need the foot soldiers and all that, that's a sign that it doesn't mean that Lib Dems are necessarily going to win the Taunton Dean seat, but they're not likely to win it without that, so it puts them in good shape?
Yes, I think they're in good shape. They certainly look more organised, look like they've got their foot soldiers out and around in parts of the sort of constituency where they wouldn't traditionally have had them, and they're ambitious, I think. And you know, you can argue that, you know, the Lib Dems always do well on a local level, but when it comes to the general election, people will revert to type and vote Conservative. But I think, you know, the candidate Gideon Amos has got a good chance here.
And it's interesting, on the one hand, Taunton voted 52% Leave, actually the same as the rest of the country. So you would say, well, maybe the Tories have got an edge over the Lib Dems if their policy is to revoke and all that. But in the whole of the West Country, if the Tories are in government, the Lib Dems are seen as the opposition. You know, the Labour Party is not really seen down here. After 9-10 years of Tory government, it sort of puts the Lib Dems in with the shout just because they're not the Tories.
That's right. You know, the Labour Party, the Labour vote here will never, you know, it's the tactical voting, people knocking on doors urging the Greens and Labour to vote Lib Dem because, you know, that's the way, if you want a progressive Member of Parliament for Taunton Deane, that's the way you should vote. If they were to ask me or the Lib Dems to, in a different seat, to kind of not campaign, it's very hard for me to imagine the Labour Party giving that up. But, you know, I can't understand why Jeremy Corbyn would run a campaign down here. He wants to get rid of Tories, so it seems obvious that he shouldn't put in much effort. I mean, somebody, a good councillor, mentioned to me the other day about the Green vote, and that doesn't seem to be increasing, even though it's in the news now and there's protest. And his theory was that the Green vote is it's not seen as political. So people see they can do their social bit to be green, but when it comes to the elections, they don't vote green.
And it's really interesting that people think, yeah, it's a sort of, you can go on the march.
I'm putting my recycling out. Yeah. You know,
I'm going on a march. I've joined Extinction Rebellion and all that.
That's
but that,
right.
that doesn't translate into politics.
That's right. And when it comes to voting, they look at the lay of the land.
Answer me this. So while I've been walking around today, people have been telling me about how Taunton's going down the toilet. It's dirty. It's a dump. All the shops are shutting. You can see there are a few empty shops. Why is it people have got a downer on the town? Is it just natural that people have always got a downer on their town?
I think that's part of it. I think there's a natural inclination to be negative about the town because I think people like hark back to a bygone age, which I'm not sure ever existed really.
I think the bygone age was probably when you and I were standing in the rain for weekend and music nights.
I suppose you could say there's a few less hanging baskets now, though. But that's about it. And
most of them are pulled down after one of the music nights.
That's right. We've got an area of the town called Firepool, which has been waiting for development for many years, and it's a real frustration for the town, but that is now starting to be sorted out. We've got money to redevelop the railway station, so that's going to be flipped round with a nice boulevard up to town past the cricket ground. You know, and there's a lot going for Taunton. I think the main argument is on the cultural side, but obviously you're here this week, Matt. So.
That's exactly right. My almost sell-out show at the Boo House Theatre.
Indeed.
Paul, it's so good to see you. Thank you so much for that. Okay, so that's the politics of Taunton there with Paul Tews. After the break, I'm going to go and find out what support there is for people in Taunton who are struggling. We're back after this short break.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host Luke Jones for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so I've just hopped in the car now just to drive through the Taunton town centre, past all these shops which are supposedly shut down, which actually most of them are occupied, it has to be said. Taunton's pretty well provided for shops-wise, I think. You've got a big Marks and Spencer's, a big Debenhams, you've got TK Maxx and Jack Wills and Joule, as well as your Primark and Poundland and all of that as well. Maybe it's just what you do. You complain about the town where you live and the number of empty shops. And yes, quite a lot of the shops are now barber shops and takeaways and charity shops and that sort of thing. But I think quite a lot of people in other towns would be delighted to have the range of shops that Taunton has. Actually, if you look at the economic data, Taunton is in pretty good shape. It's got higher employment levels than the rest of the country. It's better off. More people are in their own homes here, but it's not perfect, not for everyone. So I'm just driving through the town now to go to the Trussell Trust Food Bank, just to find out about those people who find life a bit more of a struggle, and in particular, how it works in a sort of semi-rural, semi-urban part of the world, and how they help those people who don't live in the town centre, but are finding life tough as well. So I'm now with Sue, the manager from the Taunton Food Bank. Sue, talk me through what you've got here.
We are part of the Trussell Trust network of food banks, and Taunton Food Bank's been going about 8 years now. This is our main building, including our warehouse. I also manage three other food banks in the local area, Langport, Wiverliscombe and Wellington. So we cover the whole Taunton, what was the Taunton Deane area, but the whole surrounding area.
What goes on here? There seems to be a lot of people.
Mondays is our warehouse day.
Okay.
So we have donations coming in from all the area, the surrounding area, and the food gets weighed in, distributed into food boxes, all ready for the food banks opening through the days of the week.
So it's from here that all the food goes out to the other food banks?
Yes, that's right. We have one warehouse which feeds the other satellite points. And actually, as food banks go nationwide, we are very lucky with our warehouse. We have good warehouse space. Not all food banks do that. And with the increase there has been of usage of food banks the last few years, this is a problem for many food banks. Where do we store all the food?
Okay, so talk me through that. In the last 8 years since the food bank has been established, what's happened to the sort of demand?
It's just increased. Taunton has been quite an interesting area to work in, actually, as a food bank. 3 years ago, Universal Credit came to this area, and we were one of the earlier areas for that to come in. Almost overnight, our figures went up 60%.
Wow.
Everything increased. We had to call out for an increase of stock. I had to have an increase of volunteers.
And so what was driving that? That was people who had been on the previous system of benefits who then found themselves unable to get money they were used to and just suddenly found themselves unable to buy food.
The main change for them was their benefits stopped altogether, and then they had to apply for Universal Credit. They were used to their benefits being paid weekly. They were then paid monthly with Universal Credit. And originally, we, as one of the original areas in the country with a Universal Credit, people waiting 6 weeks here. That has, of course, altered now. They're trying to shorten it to 5 weeks, which has worked a little bit better, but only a little bit better. Our figures last year sort of eased out. This year, we're up another 12%.
Let's talk about Taunton in general, because on sort of every metric you look at, it's pretty average, you know, in terms of income levels, you know, even the way it voted on the Brexit referendum, it's sort of almost in line with the national average. You walk around the town centre, people complain about empty shops, but it looks pretty well off. What's actually going on in reality about the people that you're actually trying to help?
I think in reality in this area, we do have a lot of zero-hour contract work. Like most towns, I would imagine, nationwide, we have pockets that are in very deprived areas. A lot of single-parent families. We have a huge issue in the last 12 months with emergency accommodation, people being put in travel lodges because they've lost their accommodation through a variety of things. We've seen a huge increase in mental health issues and lack of funding for various agencies. So when agencies drop down with their staffing levels, it all filters down to that people get into crisis a lot easier and for longer. And realistically, where food bank comes in, we find ourselves a stopgap.
And is that the sort of long tail of austerity that it can take quite a while from cuts being made to a government body, you know, maybe a year or two before that feeds through to people actually losing their jobs, and then there's not got the capacity. And so it's a few years later that you start seeing an increase of people here.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly with the benefit system changing, people have got into difficulties where they're with their rent, but it's been 2 years in coming. So people who have rented accommodation with a private landlord have got into rent arrears, and in the end the landlord has stopped that contract. So you find people then in emergency accommodation. Now, this didn't really come about until it started. We saw a huge sudden increase in the homeless about this time last year, in which point Universal Credit had been working in the area for 2 years. And so that slow possession of people, starting in a short-term crisis, which then develops into a long-term crisis, where budgeting is a problem, rent will just go by the by, and people will just buy what they need that day. And by the end of the month, and the rent isn't being paid again, they will deal with that at the end of the month.
If you got Boris Johnson's ear for 5 minutes, what could be done that would put you out of business, if you like?
I think as a project manager, I would love to see, with this system, there's some sort of education for people to learn how to budget with the benefit they're going to be receiving. And so right on day one, they get some help and support. We have no government funding at all. And if they want us to continue as a frontline agency, it costs £34,000 to run this food bank, and we don't get a penny from the government. I survive by people's good nature, people's generosity, and we struggle along like that.
So can we go and have a look in the warehouse? Sure. Let's go and have a look. This is like a hive of activity. I don't want to get in the way. No. So look, this is about what, the size of a tennis court?
So at the moment in here, we've probably got about 10 tonnes of stock.
And this has all been donated?
It's all been donated.
By just members of the public?
Just members of the public, yes. We've had a lot of schools this year.
So I don't want to get run over by the trolley. And so how many people are you helping?
If I give you an example, Friday afternoon, for the 2 hours we were open, we had 29 clients, which means 29 people came with one voucher. And on that voucher can be anything between one person needed to be fed to six or seven people need to be fed.
And where do they get the voucher from?
That we work with a whole group of agencies around the area. We've got about 75 agencies that we work with.
Because there's been this sort of debate about why has there been an increase in food banks? Is it just awareness of them? People are being referred through agencies. They are in genuine need. It's not just because there's some free food at the end of the road.
No. We have, as part of the Trust for Trust, have lots of checks and balances. There's a limit to how many times people can come. We've had to extend that because of the benefit system changing. So originally, people could come three times to the food bank in their crisis, whatever that may be. Now we've had to extend that to 6 weeks because they're waiting 5 weeks for benefit.
And what difference does it make in a sort of urban rural area? Because obviously if you live in one of the villages, still within Taunton Deane or West Somerset and Taunton, whatever the council's now called, it's obviously much more difficult to be able to get in. How do you help them?
We have a system where if they can't get hold of us, we can work with another charity that will deliver to their home. We ask clients to come to the food bank because in a town situation, it's good for them to come and get food, see people. Being in poverty, people lose their friends, and quite often people come for food here, have a cup of coffee and talk with people, and that is a huge part of the food bank. So we find a way.
That's Sue, the manager of the Trussell Trust Food Bank in Taunton. Now, Tauntonians won't appreciate this, but the town is actually pretty average. The Leave vote matched the national average, employment's a bit higher than the national average, though average pay is a bit lower, the average age is a bit higher, the diversity is much lower. They won't put this on the welcome signs, but it's, well, fairly average, normal even. This is the new normal, as they might say. That so many people here are both gripped by Brexit and oddly convinced that their thriving town is in decline points probably to the wider political volatility that we have seen nationwide. It means that seats like this really are unpredictable as we go into the next election. Whoever hopes to win here in that snap election probably just needs to promise to reopen all of the imaginary shops. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Acast, Spotify or wherever you listen, and get my morning email in your inbox every morning. Go to thetimes.co.uk/redbox. But for now, for me, Matt Jolly, in beautiful, beautiful Taunton, it's goodbye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no,
I don't know, how would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.